Hi, everybody. This is the Ramble Redhead Show, and I'd like to welcome you back to part two of the interview with Rebecca. As you may recall, Rebecca is telling her very interesting story about growing up, and as we left off on the last part, we were talking to her about how she had went into the military and to try to become normal, and after then dealing with that and then dealing with their Mormon beliefs, that she really realized that that they really weren't on the same path that she was going. So she decided that she wanted to accept her sexual orientation, and we're going to get right back into the story. But before we do that, let me just welcome Rebecca back to the program. Hey, Rebecca.
Hi. Long time no talk to you.
I know. It's been forever.
I know. But I can't even remember what we just talked about.
I mean, I missed you so much, we had to call. So
I cried.
I know. I did too. It's awful. You're my new best friend, and I could talk to you. But now you're here. So we're back.
Okay. You know, it's interesting that talking about like this whole my experience with the sexual orientation, mm-hmm. because most transgender women,
right,
from I guess you could say before and after transition, are attracted to women. And attracted to women and identify as straight before their transition and usually lesbian afterwards.
Oh,
so,
wow.
And, you know, so that's where my experience is quite a bit different from a lot of trans women.
Mm-hmm.
In the fact that, you know, I was attracted to guys. And, you know, it added to the confusion of, am I gay? You know, obviously, getting out of the Mormon church and realizing that the Mormon church, you said it very nicely. I just say they're full of shit.
I was trying to be nice.
Of course. For all you Mormon listeners out there, you know, I respect that you believe what you believe, but, you know, for me, in my opinion, I'm not going to pick on the Mormon church specifically. I'm an equal opportunity offender. All of organized religion is fucked up. I honestly believe that we can, you know, we can save that discussion for another day.
Right.
The sexual orientation thing. I thought I was a gay man. I was playing the butch role very well in the military.
Right.
Towards the last 6 months that I was in the military is when I started to, you know, come out socially. I even started to come out to fellow soldiers.
Oh, wow. And, what was that like?
You know, Fort Riley, it was interesting because Fort Riley is right next to Manhattan, Kansas, which is a little college town. Where Kansas State University is at.
Right.
And college towns, even in the most reddest states, tend to be fairly liberal. And, you know, what I discovered after starting my coming out process, because with being 6 months out of the military, I started to get the I don't give a fuck-itis.
You know? Right.
Up to that time, I was very careful because they were giving me a shitload of college money, and I didn't want to jeopardize that.
Right.
So I was very careful up until about 6 months before I got out, before, you know, once I got to the point where I realized, you know, even if they did find out, I'd likely get a dishonorable discharge anyway.
Right.
Or, I mean, an honorable discharge.
Right.
But, I was, you know, I was still careful, just not as careful. And as I started to open up, I realized that this little college town right outside of Fort Riley had its own mini gay community.
Oh, wow.
And that there were quite a few soldiers from Fort Riley that that were popping in and out of that. So I started to meet a few queer soldiers on base that became, you know, friends, at least for the short time that I had left.
Right.
Amongst other things, but
wow.
We'll save those pornographic experiences for another podcast. Go to chatred.com. No, I'm kidding. So, you know, I just started meeting people. I can't remember where I was going with that. You might have to help me out here.
Well, you were just talking about how you started meeting other gay soldiers, and that you made some friends, even though you had a short time there, and then
affirmation was playing a role as well, even though there was no gay more. What I really wanted to do, and I think what fueled my decision to move to back to Utah after getting out of the Army, is I wanted to meet gay Mormons. I still had very strong Mormon beliefs, even though I had realized the Mormon Church was wrong on the homosexuality issue.
Right.
The conclusion that they were full of shit, you know, that I hadn't came to that conclusion quite yet. And so I wanted to be a gay Mormon. I wanted to be somebody that could be a good Mormon and just be gay. And it was quite interesting. I went back to Utah. I started going to college. And, you know, I started to meet a lot of people in the gay community in Salt Lake. And, go ahead.
Well, that's one thing I wanted to touch on, because I think it's very important. And see, that's one of my little pet peeves, is about how the GLBT community is always screaming that they hate the fact that they're being stereotyped. But the thing that I find amazing is that in our own culture, we tend to be probably the most stereotypical group of all, and that, like, for example, what you did is that, like, the gay community had very little tolerance for feminine men, and then the other thing is then you have, like, the different types. Oh, I don't like him because he's a flaming little queen, or I don't like him because he's a big fat bear, or, you know, or the leather dude, or the, you know, the
probably
butch.
Probably getting ahead a little bit.
Okay. But I mean, like, the, you know, like the butch dyke and all that stuff. But I just, I just find that.
See, here's what's interesting about that, and that's actually a fairly good transition, because they're just to close up the Mormon thing.
Okay, I'm sorry.
The way that I discovered that the Mormon Church was full of shit is, I went back to Utah, Salt Lake City. I started going to church at a congregation up by the University of Utah,
right?
For a fairly liberal area. There are such things as liberal Mormons, believe it or not. For those of you that are politically aware, Salt Lake City's mayor is a perfect example. He's actually former Mormon, but I came out. This was, you know, I'd been out to my previous bishops with the whole I need to change type spiel. This bishop, I went up to him and I go, I'm gay, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I still want a fellowship within the Mormon Church. And his response, he gave me a hug. He's like, I completely understand. Wow. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here?
Really?
And later I found out that he had a gay son.
Oh.
And him and his wife were struggling with that, because his son had came out to them at a very young age. They were all very close. They were your stereotypical Mormon family, and he was very frustrated with the church at that. He was starting to experience a lot of frustration with the church at that time too, because he knew that his son, he'd raised his son the way he was supposed to, that there was nothing wrong with his son, yet the church was teaching the exact opposite.
Right.
And it was kind of interesting. Not only was he, even though I met him as my ecclesiastical leader, we became good friends even after because they only serve for, you know, it's a volunteer position, and so they only do it for a few years at a time. So once his time was up, we just became good friends. And what I noticed throughout that time period is I started paying close attention to how the church hierarchy treated him. This was somebody I looked up to as a man of God.
Mm-hmm.
And to see how the church, because he was connected with some of the you know, highest leaders in the hierarchy. He was related to one of the he's related to several of them, for hell's sakes.
Wow.
And as I watched how the church treated him and his family, that's when I realized I wanted nothing to do with an organization like that.
Right.
And that, you know, really is when my journey to where I'm at today, spiritually, I'm an agnostic today. I realized the Mormon church was fucked up, I started looking at other churches and saw that, well, none of them were any better.
Right.
So that's pretty much my journey on the religious side. The social side, which is what you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
I was embraced by the gay community. I was 21. I was butch. I was a cute little twink boy. And, you know, I was loved. I was getting laid left and right.
Wow.
It was great. On the sex, making up for lost time. But,
really?
You know, what was interesting is, along with that coming out as a gay male, it opened the Pandora's box on the gender side.
Wow.
That little box that I thought I cured, and that I rationalized in my mind that the gender stuff was just a result of me being a closeted homosexual.
Wow.
And it only took a year for me to realize that that wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
Because the longer I was separated from the military, the more that little butch thing started to wear off.
Wow.
And the less acceptance I found from the gay community. The longer I was, the less butch I became, the less I felt accepted, you know, at home in the gay, especially by gay men. And I lived in Salt Lake for about 4 years, and you can damn well bet by the end of that fourth year, you know, I went through it was another process, at first, after I realized that gay men did not want to be women. That was my first, you know, as the gender box started to open, I started, you know, I realized really quickly that gay men adored their masculinity, and I found mine to be repulsive. You know, they weren't having any of that. Those queens weren't having any of that. which you were talking about, the whole fact that I'm not sure I agree with you that the gay community fits stereotypes. It's more that the gay community is so scared of the gay stereotype that they have treated the transgender community pretty poorly as a result.
No, I agree with you on that. No, but the point I was trying to make is that if you talk to a group of gay men and you say, well, what kind of people do you like? And they say, one will say, oh, I don't like those really flaming guys. And then the next one will say, oh, I hairy men are disgusting. Or, you know, and it's they always prejudge instead of accepting everybody in the community.
Here's the term that I love is straight acting. I like straight acting guys.
Yeah.
It's so self-defeating.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and Reagan touched on that. I don't know if you ever listened to Reagan's show, but he touched on that a lot.
I check in with his show from time to time.
Yeah, and so he does touch on that subject quite a bit. And, you know, mm-hmm. and I agree with him because it's just that I think if we're going to be a community, then we need to support everybody. And that's why I love having the variety of different people that I have on my program. And it's just amazing. It's really opened my horizons and my eyes because I think that's what we need to do. We need to be educated, and like a lot of people, like you just said, you know, when it comes to the T and LGBT, that a lot of people don't understand it, and that's why I wanted to interview with you and also some other people that I hopefully
are going to... My corny little joke is that a lot of gay men probably think the T is testosterone.
Yeah, but we're going to change him with that, with this interview. So I just want to tell you thank you again for taking the time to do this, because I really mm-hmm. think it's important to hear stories like this, because there's a lot of people that just don't understand it, and they need mm-hmm. to be educated, and you know, just like no matter what it is, whether it's health issues, whether it's mm-hmm. like what I do, and I deal with the medical field in vision or low vision. And I can't tell you how many people that I talk to that have no clue what I do and what how I can help people. And there's a lot of people that are suffering from the loss of their vision, and they don't realize what resources are available. And I think the same thing in the LGBT community is that, you know, a lot of people just need to be educated about it and understand that we're all the same. We're all people that just want to be happy, to feel love, feel supported, to be, have a partner.
Well, I can tell you, to be honest with you, the whole concept of an LGBT community is somewhat of a farce. Yeah. I think there's the idea of all of us working together for common goals is good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but really, when you talk about shared experiences and commonalities, mm-hmm. the transgender community has a lot more in common with the feminist movement than we do the gay and lesbian community.
Right.
Just simply because of the fact that you're dealing with issues of gender identity, mm-hmm. and if men and women were equal in our society and equal on every level, there wouldn't be any issues with people crisscrossing back and forth.
Right.
Sexism is alive and well in the gay community just as much as it is in every other community. Right. One of the things that I think I really love about podcasting is that this is one of those mediums where we're just finally opening up and talking about it in a large way. You know, I'm sure, you know, a lot of people in our community have dinner time discussions about it, you know, in small groups. But this is where we have the opportunity to really have some valuable dialogue.
Yeah. And again, I think it's very important, and I applaud you for your show, and I applaud, you know, anybody that feels that they have a unique voice that they need to share, and that, because there's always going to be someone out there who's going to learn from it, who's going to benefit, who's going to, you know, open their eyes and go, wow, you know, I didn't know that. And I just want to tell you, I had this discussion a little while ago at a sales meeting with a colleague of mine, and he's married, he has three kids, you know, he's very, you know, in some ways I do not agree with his politics and stuff. But one of the things, we're sitting there having lunch, and all of a sudden out of the blue, he says, oh, I don't like hearing that kind of crap. And I'm like, what? And he says, oh, one of the guys here just made a negative comment about gay people.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't know about me. And the thing, uh-huh. I just thought it was so weird about that he just popped this out of his mouth. And I said, why? What happened? He said, well, he just said something really negative, and that really pissed me off. I don't like to listen to that crap. And I said, why is that? He said, well, one of my best friends happens to be gay. And I said, uh-huh. really? And then we started talking, and then we got into it, and we started talking about, you know, gay marriage and gay in the military, you know, gay in the military and all this stuff. And he says, I don't think that, you know, gay marriage is right. I don't think that, you know, gays adopting kids is right. He says, and I said, why not? And he said, well, because I don't feel that we as a society should help support two people who make the decision to do that and then have the children. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, well, how do you feel about straight couples who decide that they can't have children, you know, naturally, that they have to go through artificial means, or, you know, artificial insemination, or go through adoption, or, you know, whatever mm-hmm. the means of getting a child. I said, how do you feel about that? And he said, well, that's different. I said, why is it different? You know, why is it different for a straight couple than for two men or two women to be able to have the same thing that as a straight couple would? And I just started throwing all these arguments at him, and then he would pause, and he would think about what I was saying, and then he would want to say something, but then he realized that whatever was going to come out of his mouth, I had something else to say to it. And he's like, well, Tom, I just think we have to agree to disagree on this. And then 2 days later, he calls me and he says, Tom, I really thought about what you had to say, and I just want you to know that you're right. And that I was wrong.
Wow.
And he said, I just want you to know that you helped change my attitude. And I had a long discussion with my wife last night about it. And I just have to tell you that you're right.
Wow.
And I was
that's a high.
Yeah, and I was just totally blown away because I thought, oh, there's no way I'm going to change this guy's attitude, because he didn't see it from the perspective that I was coming from. And I just told him, I said, I have too many friends, I have too many family members, and I told him later, that conversation that I told him that I was. And he says, well, I kind of had a feeling, because with my company it's very small, and mm-hmm. they've made some homophobic remarks, and so I really did not want to push that button for one of the reasons. But then the other part of me was like, you know what, I really don't give a shit anymore. I really don't. Uh-huh. And so I told him, and he says, hey, that's cool with me. And then when I told him, I said, that's why I feel the way I do. That's why I, you know, and that's why I was so adamant about it. And I said, and he goes, wow, Tom, he says, you really had a powerful impact on me. And I was like, wow. So it was just an amazing experience. And so, well, I'm sorry, I went way off topic, but I just thought it was so...
That's all right.
I went on a rambling rage with myself, but I just thought that it was just amazing that, how we as a community, as we as a show that we each have, that we really do have ability to help people, and we can really change people's minds. And
I've had a lot of people tell me that to listen to my show that because my show is marketed towards everybody.
Mm-hmm.
My show is not for everybody, right, but it's marketed towards everybody. It's not a target cast, so to speak, to where I'm talking to the transgender community. Right. I think a lot of trans people listen to my show and get a lot of benefit out of that. And whenever I hear from trans people who say, your show is a highlight of my week, that makes it all worth it.
Right.
But also, on the other hand, I also get emails, people that I meet in person, they're like, I've learned that are not transgender. They're like, I have learned so much from listening to your show. And really, all I do, I think one of the best ways that I educate people about transgender issues is I like to bring, as we were talking about, off the recording, I like to bring other trans people onto my show, people that don't have as much of a voice, mm-hmm. Their listenership is of a, if they have a podcast, their listenership is of a different demographic. I'm really trying to build up a demographic that doesn't have a lot of exposure to transgender issues. Obviously, I'm reaching out more towards liberal people and people that have no problem with profanity. But, and I think those are the ones that are going to be the most, open about what I have to say, to be honest with you. So
right.
That's why I don't hold anything back on how I, word things and what I say, because mostly it's an audio blog.
Right.
It's an audio blog with an agenda.
I'm gonna definitely be a new fan on your show as well. So I can't wait to download as many as I can. I guess I can go all the way back to your 11th show.
Ooh, I'll tell you what, people that do that, first of all, I think they're crazy. But I'm very flattered that anybody that would want to spend, I'll tell you what, those that just want to spend an hour a week listening to me, I'm flattered enough. Those that go back and want to play catch up, it's like, whoo, because I can't do that with any other podcast. So I'm very flattered for those that have the wherewithal to do that. So,
well, see, that's what I do, because when I listen to a show and if I like it, I'll go back to day one if I can.
Wow.
And and I'll listen to like all of them. My one of my latest shows that I really like, and I had both of the hosts on mm-hmm. my show, was The Daily Purge, and with J. Michael Halls and Rob Lindley, and they're out of Chicago, and they're absolutely hilarious. And what I did is I went back to as far as I could. I went all the way back to like their December shows of last year, and then what I did is every day I would listen to a couple, because I'm on the road all the time, so I'm in the vehicle all the time, mm-hmm. so I have hours and hours to kill. So rather than listening to books on tape, I just listen to my fellow podcasters.
It makes my day, because I'm in a cubicle all day with headphones, and it's like I have so many people that are keeping me company. It's absolutely it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm thinking of doing is right now my show starts at show 11. My first 10 shows I pulled off of my server because I was running out of space.
Oh, okay.
I'm starting to again. What I'm thinking of doing is just joining the Evil Pod Show and putting all of my stuff on the podcast delivery network.
Okay.
Just putting all of my shows up, and then that way I can start doing, because I'm going to start doing some video podcasts too.
Oh, cool.
With my upcoming surgery, it's going to be a great opportunity to put out some compelling video content.
Wow.
And I think Podshow is going to be the perfect vehicle to do that, because it sounds like, because I really like, in spite of how popular it is to hate on Podshow, I really like what they're doing over there.
Okay.
Even if it does involve something inserted in my podcast more, I guess I can live with that.
Right. Okay. So, well, what I need to do is we need to get back to our subject, which is you.
Yes.
And we already went 26 minutes into the part two, and we haven't even got to the transgendered part. So we need to hit the
hit the gas.
Yeah, hit the gas. Okay. That was kind of hitting the brakes, so we have to do that all over again. Okay. Okay. So do we keep on going, or do I pause? And keep...
Well, we really have talked about a lot of trans stuff, because the longer I was in Salt Lake City and just being out, just being, trying to be myself, the more I realized I wasn't a gay male.
Mm-hmm.
But actually a transgender woman, especially when I started meeting people in the Salt Lake City transgender community, I started to get the realization that, oh my God, that's me.
Right.
And, you know, and I started to, you know, read more about transgender issues on the internet. And I realized I couldn't, I wanted to transition. After about 4 years of living in Salt Lake, being out of the military, I was I was starting to become, you know, understand who I was.
Right.
And I realized, but I didn't think I was going to have the courage to transition. And what happened is my job was miserable. I had contracted HIV while I was living in Salt Lake City. And a lot of that is related to my transgender feelings.
Wow.
Through that little slutty time that I had where I was, you know, just had no problem getting laid.
Right.
One of the ways that I exercised my hidden feminine desires, I had some fucked up ideas about what women were.
Right.
And which is one of the reasons why I think I'm becoming a feminist today, is because of my ignorance. Back then, one of the things that helped me feel more feminine was to have a guy come inside me. And, you know, I laugh about that because of how retarded that sounds, but it's not really funny because
right.
of the results, because of the result of that.
Right.
But what was interesting is whenever I would get tested every 6 months, because I wasn't stupid. I knew what I was doing. I knew I was playing Russian roulette there.
Right.
And so I'd get tested every 6 months, and they would keep asking me, the health workers would keep asking me, why are you doing this? Why? And I couldn't tell them the real reason why.
Wow.
Because that issue wasn't even being addressed. And it still really isn't in HIV prevention, which is something that which is probably an activist effort that I need to devote more of my time to. Because a lot of trans women for really not for my reason, but for reasons of discrimination and unemployment and having to go into sex work, a lot of trans women are contracting the HIV virus.
Wow.
So that played into how miserable I was after 4 years, because I was HIV positive. I was open about it, so I immediately became a pariah in the community for that reason.
Wow.
And then, you know, some people were starting to realize that I was wearing women's clothing under my men's clothing and just doing certain things that were just not acceptable in the gay community unless you were a drag queen.
Right.
And I did start doing drag, and I use drag with quotes, because that was my way of, other way of, you know, coming out a second time, my second closet.
Right.
And by the time I was getting ready to leave Salt Lake, I was miserable with my job. I was miserable in the community. I needed to get out. So through my employer, because I worked for a large bank, I posted for 13 jobs on the West Coast, and the only two to give me job offers were here in Portland.
Wow.
So I moved to Portland, and, you know, as soon as I got here, I realized, wow, you know, fresh start, fresh environment. I started my transition.
Wow.
And when I moved to Portland, I withdrew. I did not want anybody to know me outside of work. I had no choice while I was at work. Outside of work, I didn't want anybody to know me in my male identity. So I became quite antisocial and quite withdrawn, and I'm still suffering from the effects of that decision. I don't regret doing that because it made my transition easier.
Right.
But I'm an antisocial whore now, which is probably why I have a podcast to get myself out of that. But to make a long story short there, that's kind of how I got where I was in Salt Lake to where I'm at today.
Wow. Well, see, one thing I'm reading on your website that I just thought was really interesting was that it says, from the moment I arrived in Portland, I knew I was going to socially transition to living as a woman. Because I got hired as, quote, Ryan, end quote, I couldn't do it immediately. But from day one of my new job, I started to dropping hints to see what kind of environment I was working in. And it says, it didn't take long to realize that I had the perfect job to transition in. And then in January of 2002, you started taking the female hormones. And then in July, you legally changed your name and started living full time as a woman.
That was in July of 2002. Oh shit. 2002.
Right. So I was just wondering, now after going through all the stuff that you went through, after going through the military and dealing with that, and then dealing with the gay community and dealing with being HIV positive and, you know, dealing with all this stuff and then dealing with the
Mormon stuff.
Yeah, the Mormon stuff. I mean, all those things. And then finally, after all this time, and now you're starting to do that transition and you changed your name and you're living full-time mm-hmm. as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, what were you going through at that time when you finally, you know, were able to do that after all this?
Well, you know, and when you put it all in that context, you know, I sit here and wonder why getting a pussy doesn't seem like that big of a deal to me. Because with a lot of trans women, that's like the climax of of a physical transition. And for me, it's like, you know, it's important. I've wanted one for a long, long time. But it's like, oh, I'll have something new to play with. Yay! Because I'm getting my set for your listeners that don't listen to my show. I'm getting my sex reassignment surgery.
Wow.
In about 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's going to be, in a way, it's closing the chapter of a physical transition.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the journey of my life, which involves all the things we've talked about, it's just one more significant milestone.
Well, I was just wondering, you know, like, because obviously you're taking the hormones, you're doing with all that, and you know, and I was just wondering, can you talk briefly about that, what that experience was like, and, you know, dealing, I mean, do you have side effects?
First year of my transition was very difficult.
Yeah.
Probably the second most difficult experience in my life, aside from the Mormon stuff.
Right.
You know, in our society, you need to be either male or female. Mm-hmm. And when your presentation is somewhere in between, you're going to get a lot of shit.
Right.
And for me, I'm 6'1".
Right.
And the common perception, most people's perceptions of women are not being that tall. So, you know, so my passability is really depends on what a person's image of women are. And for those that think that women are 5'2" and petite and girly girly, they're going to look at me with suspicion.
Right.
For those that have more liberalized views of what women are, they're probably not even going to bat an eye at me. Oh, she's just another girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my first year of transition going on the hormones, whew, it was interesting. The estrogen made me horny as hell. I
wow.
already was because I had a very active sexual life. So I was already, you know, that was like adding gasoline to an already lit gas fire. Just adding more of it. Shit.
Wow.
Are
you a Scorpio? No, just kidding.
Taurus.
Okay. Well, see. Go ahead.
For the first year, I was on hormones and, you know, I had that testosterone battling that estrogen, and you know, when you have that internal war with the addition of, you know, people staring at you everywhere you go,
right,
making comments thinking that you can't hear them. Even in gay clubs, people would ask me, are you doing drag, you know, and I'm like, honey, I didn't spend that much fucking time doing myself up, you know. People, I go to a gay bar and people would stand right in front of me, 5 feet from me, and go, is that a man or a woman?
Wow.
You know, they'd be talking to each other, thinking that I was oblivious, and I'm looking right at them.
Wow.
It's like, you know, how rude can you be?
Really?
You know, and so, you know, all of these experiences, I remember one time I was getting off of the light rail train and, these kids got off and were harassing me on the train.
Wow.
The way I was dressed probably wasn't helping because I was probably going through another adolescence. I was going through the I want to be a teenage girl phase.
Wow.
But I remember these kids harassing me on the train, and I got off at the stop, and they were throwing stuff at me.
Wow.
There was another time I went to sit down in a KFC, and these two guys asked me to move. And I said, no, that's okay. I'm happy here. You're free to move if you don't want to sit by me. And they didn't like that very well. They sat outside the restaurant and waited for me to come out. And once they realized that I wasn't going to come out until they leave, then they left. But just scary shit like that.
Wow.
Was quite... you know, was stuff that I experienced through my first year of transition. The more comfortable I got in the social role of a woman, and it really wasn't probably the social role of a woman, the more comfortable I got just being me,
mm-hmm.
I think the more passable I became, because nowadays I'm kind of a tomboy. You know, I don't believe in roles of any kind. I'm just me.
Right.
Unapologetic about it. Anybody does, you know, I don't wear a lot of makeup. I don't wear a lot of frilly clothes. Sometimes I like to. but by and large, that's not me. I'm just, you know. That's, you know, and the longer I've been in Portland, Portland has been a great city, though, by and large, for me to transition, because the transgender community is huge out here. I haven't really gotten to know a lot of local trans people in an environment, because Portland has kind of a laissez-faire social attitude. It's just like, I don't care what you do, just as long as I can go about my life You go about your life. It's all good.
Right.
And, you know, we're kind of a hippie town out here, you know? And so it's been a great place for me to transition and just to kind of become comfortable in my own skin.
Wow.
And just with myself. And that's really been the extent of it. The more exciting stuff happened in my first year. I ended up getting a bilateral orchiectomy, which in layman's terms is castration. And that helped even me out hormone-wise.
Right.
And that happened about 3 years ago. And now I guess you could say that was kind of the pre-surgical procedure. And I'm pretty much finishing the job, you know, in a few weeks.
Wow.
So, but yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at now. I've been in a relationship with a guy for about 3 years, and that is coming to an end here, which, you know, it was a good experience for both of us, but we're just moving in two different directions in our life.
Wow. How did you meet him?
Internet.
Oh, okay.
I was too antisocial for anything else.
Wow. Well, why? So, okay, if you could, you know, I'm just curious why after being together for 3-4 years now, why you said you're going in different directions? Can I ask?
No, yeah, sure.
Okay.
I think it's one of those things to where we never really had a lot in common to begin with.
Oh.
And we were both in places emotionally where we need. Where a relationship was going to help us validate ourselves.
Right.
And validate each other. You know, he's a big time gamer. You know, just he's into anime. He's in a lot of the interests he has, I have no interest in.
Right.
And vice versa. And, you know, as far as the whole, it's interesting because he does identify. When we met, he identified as a straight male. I would say he's mostly straight, but very open-minded, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'd have to be with me. One of the things I told him, I go, a lot of people are going to perceive you to be gay, and
right.
You have to be okay with that.
Right.
And, you know, for the most part, he has been, even though he's really not. Because if he's gay, then I'm a man. And, physically down there, people are going to still label me as male. You know, I don't agree with that, but I don't have any control over that either.
Right.
Because my mantra is that gender is defined by what's in between our ears, not our legs.
Right.
But,
wow.
Anyway, that's kind of what's happening with my relationship. Is, you know, we're just growing apart. We were good for each other. We fell in love with each other. We've been good companions, but, you know, sexually it's never really been. it's never been there sexually. We've never been sexually compatible.
Wow. That's, you know, amazing. So, now do you have a lot of support as far as for you and going through this process, the actual surgery, the completing all that? Do you have a lot of friends and family?
Interesting enough, as many problems as I had in Salt Lake City,
mm-hmm.
I did have a core group of friends of about probably a dozen people that supported me no matter what, and they're still good friends of mine.
Good.
And I have more friends in Salt Lake City than I do in Portland.
Wow.
It's mostly my fault, but and my as far as my family goes, when I came out as a gay male, they were uncomfortable.
Right.
When I came out as a transgender woman, they saw that as an extension of going too far, you know, because a lot of people still don't understand the differences. Which, you know, as we talked about, I think in your, I can't remember if it was earlier in the show or the last show, the problems that the gay and transgender community have with each other,
mm-hmm.
is the fact that the lines between sexual orientation and gender identity are often blurred in many people's eyes. But I think the thing that brought my family around, unfortunately, was the passing of my mother. My mother was starting to come around before she passed away last November.
Right.
She started using the right pronouns. She started using my true and current name, which for her I would have never expected because she named me. And I told her, you know what? You know, if you want the name that you gave me, if you want to go with that for the rest of your life, I don't prefer that, but I'll respect that. You know, because she gave me that name. So the fact that she started calling me the name that I wanted for myself meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see my family for about 4 years. I saw my mom for probably about, I had about a 10-minute visit with my mom about a month before she died. And that was the only time she had seen me since my transition.
Wow.
And my dad, he was starting, it's interesting, both of my parents started to come around right around the same time. And then when my mom passed away, the rest of the family, you know, when I went to my mom's funeral, I think people just realized that there are things a lot more important than what I'm going through in the grand scheme of things.
Right.
So,
well,
that's kind of where I'm at today.
Wow, that's amazing. And, you know, and I read on your blog, you know, as far as what happened to your mom, and I don't know if you want to get into that, but I guess I'm really glad that your family realized that, you know, what you just said, because that's one of the things I'm always constantly talking about on my show is just acceptance and understanding, and that, you know, unfortunately there are people out there that are ignorant who just don't understand, and that they don't accept their gay or lesbian child or transgender child or bisexual child. And so what happens is they tend to, you know, act irrationally, and they kick kids out, they do horrible things. And that's why I really want my show to be an instrument of telling people that, hey, if you cannot get your support from your family, then there always is going to be a community that will be there for you, and that you just have to look for it. And I've had a lot of people come out to me because of my show, and it sounds like you've had a lot of positive responses to your show because of what you've done. And so I just think it's wonderful.
The support that I'm getting, it's interesting. I've been really embraced by the Q Potter community.
Mm-hmm.
And considering that the historically, you know, tense relationship that the gay and the trans community have had, because I'll tell you, a lot of my fellow transsexual podcasters don't have a lot of nice things to say about the gay community, and understandably so. You know, the human rights campaign, unfortunately, they tend to be the political face of the gay community.
Right.
And, you know, while they say, all they pretty much do is pay lip service to the transsexual community, transgender community. They'll sell us out in a heartbeat.
Right. Well, I saw you did a show on it, and I've had it on my list to download, so I'm anxious to hear that. But do you want to maybe go on that a little bit real quick?
Well, it's just one of those things if there's legislation or principles that can benefit the gay community,
mm-hmm.
And if there's legislation to where the trans community, there's a chance that having trans inclusion on that legislation might hold it back. The Human Rights Campaign will, hate crimes legislation, is probably the best known example, to where there was a bill in the Senate that was trans inclusive, and there was one in the House. No, there was a bill in the House, and this is on the national level, that was trans inclusive, and there was one introduced in the Senate that wasn't.
Right.
Now, in my mind, if the Human Rights Campaign truly stood up for the transgender community, they would have not supported the one in the Senate at all.
Right.
But what they chose to do is play that, you know, they play that Democrat political football of trying to play both sides.
Right.
And, support both bills. they said that they preferred the one that was trans-inclusive, but they supported both bills. And many people in the trans community saw that as a sellout.
Right.
Because it's like, how could you even lend any ounce of support to a bill that does not include everybody? It makes us feel like second-class citizens, especially when you have an organization like the National Organization of Women now that took a firm position. If NOW can take a firm position, why can't the Human Rights Campaign? The other issue that came out more recently, their Corporate Equality Index. A lot of the companies that are getting 100% don't have very good benefits and policies for trans people. I think the minimum is they can't fire you for being a transsexual. Wow. And, there are a lot of health care needs that are specific to transgender people that some of these companies don't cover, and they're still getting 100%. So, it's an education process. I take the position that rather than sit there and talk about how the gay community this, the gay community that, I like to bring those subjects up, but I also like to reach out to the gay community and say, hey, this is what's going on. This is where we're coming from. How can we work together to achieve common goals?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's very important, and I applaud you for doing that, bringing it up, because again, maybe a lot of people in the gay community or lesbian community or bisexual community did not realize that was happening. And so,
the T stands for testosterone.
Yeah. So that, and we definitely need to speak up on that. We need to again, be more vocal, educate people, get them involved. And I think if we need to, if there's one part that's not being treated fairly, then, it's all of them. All of us need to be involved. That's why I really feel that we need to be more vocal. We need to be standing out. We need to be counted. And I just read a thing online about the number of gay couples in the areas that are finally admitting that they're gay couples, and that the numbers are growing, and that, but I think there's a hell of a lot more people that are hiding in the closet, that are afraid to be who they are. And I mean, like, just real quick story is that in this local church that I go to, it's a gay-friendly church, and so I go, and I just started going, and for the most part, I really do enjoy it. I enjoy the community involvement we have. I enjoy the people that I've been able to associate with, and I've developed some really good friends because of this, and so anything that does that is a plus for me. But one of the things that drives me absolutely crazy is that being a new member of this church is that I'm trying to help them get more people involved and get more people to go and to get more people to be actively involved and help. There's a gay and lesbian resource center that's in town, and I'm trying to get more people to get involved with that and really help it grow. But the thing is that a lot of these people don't want change. They don't want to get more people because they're afraid if they get more people, then they're going to find out about them and that they're gay or lesbian and that, they have sensitive jobs or where their jobs could be at risk if that got out. And, but I think that this church needs to be treated just like a business, and that in order for it to grow, you have to market it. In order to market, you have to talk to people. In order to talk to people, you have to get more people to come, and you got to get them involved. And there's so many people in that church that just say, no, we don't want to get any bigger. We don't want to grow. We don't want to do this. We don't want – and they're all going, don't. And here I am, no, we got to. We have to. And so it's a little bit of a conflict for me and maybe some of the other people. And so it's something that I'm learning to have to deal with and to struggle. But I can relate it to what you just said and how we just need to, to open the doors, even if it's just a little bit, we have to open the door and talk about it and get these issues out. Otherwise, we're just going to be back in the same old.
And that's what's wonderful about podcasting.
Yeah, because the thing is, if the people like in the 60s and the 70s hadn't spoke up, then we wouldn't be where we are today. And we have to continue to be vocal, and we have to continue to do what we're doing so that the next generation and the next generation is going to look back and go, wow, they really had it tough then, but now it's so much better. So, I mean, that's just something that we have to do, and we just got to let the whiners shut up and, you know, and go on. But I know we're getting way long on this episode, and I know you probably want to eat something, because she hasn't eaten yet, folks, and she's probably starving. But I just wondered, do you have any, before I ask you my final question I'd like to ask you, I was just wondering, do you have anything else you'd like to add or in closing remarks?
Boy, I don't know. I think we've kind of covered it all.
Yeah. Okay.
Other than just my mantra, gender is defined by what's in between the ears, not our legs. I really believe that.
Right.
You can't, you know, I know I'm going to get this question once I have my surgery. So how does it feel like to be a real woman now? I'm waiting for that question from a lot of well-intentioned people.
Right.
who probably some of them listen to my show and still, you know, that's why I say that over and over and over again, because I think we hear it, but then we go back into a society that says the exact opposite.
Right.
You know, and it's so easy to buy.
Right. Well, what I'd like to do is ask you the one final question that I always ask my guests. But what I'd like to do before I do that is I just want to read the last line that you have on your site, because I really think it's good. Is that it says, this is something that many people, regardless of their age, gender, race, orientation, etc., can relate to. I guess I should read that line before that. Okay, let me back up. What I'd like to do is just read what you have written on your website. And what it says, when I was trying to conform to society, I hated myself. Now that I don't conform, society hates me. This is something that many people, regardless of their age, gender, race, orientation, can relate to. I hope that this story and the one I tell weekly with Tranny Rec makes our society a better place to live for anybody who is different. And so I just want to say that's an awesome line, and that's what I'm, again, trying to do with my show, is that, hey, it's okay to be who you are and not to be ashamed of it and be proud of who you are and the differences that we have in this world.
So, it's important to talk about our differences so we can understand each other, but in the end, we're all human beings with 99% identical DNA, and we need to learn how to get the fuck along.
Yep. Okay, now I want to throw my last question at you. And see, obviously, we've talked for over an hour and a half. And again, I appreciate you taking the time to do this. And I know that my listeners will as well. And one of the last questions I always ask my guests is that, looking back at your life, looking at all the different things, the different challenges, the ups and downs that you've gone through, and obviously it plays a big part in the GLBT community in your story. And see, the big thing is that a lot of people, especially younger people, are listening to my show. And I was just wondering, looking back at your life, and if you had the opportunity, because you do, you have the forum to be able to really talk to these people. And I was just wondering if there's one thing that you would like them to learn from you, from your experiences. I was just wondering, what would it be?
Would be to not be afraid. Have no fear. You know, every experience that you have in your life happens for a reason. And, you know, some you may not figure out what that is right away or ever, but if you're in a place where you're miserable, think about this. There is to really appreciate joy, to really appreciate the good times, you have to go through the bad times.
Right.
And I think that's what makes life so rich, is the diversity of experiences we have and the diversity of people that come into our lives. Because, you know, I have an audio blog. I believe my story is very important. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I told one of my coworkers one time, she's like, oh, I'm just like everyone else. My story is boring. And I told her, you know what, if we dug deep enough, we'd probably find something about you that was unique.
Right.
And I, you know, I think that uniqueness exists in everybody, and it's wonderful.
Awesome. Well, that's a great answer. And and I think that's beautiful. And I just think we need to continue to find out what makes us all unique and just keep plugging along and keep
And we all need to lighten the fuck up, too.
Really? Yeah.
Yes.
Don't be afraid to laugh now and then.
So. Don't be afraid to laugh. Don't be afraid to, and don't worry about being politically correct all the time either.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, again, I want to thank you so much for being on the program. You're a wonderful, wonderful person, and I truly wish you all the best and success, and I really hope everything goes well for you in the next couple weeks. And I'd love to, once you get back, is to get you on the program again and just hear all about it if you'd like
talk
to share it with
pussy.
Me. Yeah. Talk about
and
your
I
pussy.
Will be video podcasting, audio podcasting, and blogging
all
at
right.
trannyrec.com. So
yeah.
For those that don't subscribe, they can go to my website, enter in their email address, and they'll get email updates from me as well every time I update my website.
Well, cool. Okay, great. Well, again, thank you for being on the program. And again, I'd like to ask you to say goodbye to all my lovely listeners.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to my story. And if you want to hear more, go to my website. If not, fine, then be that way. But I still love you anyway.
Okay, well, everybody, I would like to let you know that I love you too, and I love to have you give me your feedback. So please go to RambleRedhead.com, and please leave messages about this show as well as any of the others. You can also email me at RambleRedhead@gmail.com, as well as I have a MyChingo account. You can leave a message, and if it's great, I'll put it on the show. If it's bad, I'll put it on my show. So do it anyway. And so I want to thank you so very much for being on the program, and also thank you for being a big listener of the Ramble Redhead Show. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you.